Welcome to the Son of a Preacher podcast. I am GW, and I am the Son of a Preacher. I'm so happy to be talking to you all again today. Dad first brought this message on January 16th, 1972. Topic was, "You are like salt." Scripture was from Matthew, the 5th chapter, the 13th to the 16th verse. It says, "You are like salt for all mankind. But if salt loses its taste, there is no way to make it salty again. It has become worthless, so it is thrown away, and people walk on it." So remember, you are like salt. Did you know that? Well, I didn't, really. Did you know that when the followers of Christ first became the followers of Christ, they weren't known as Christians? They were known as followers of the way. And it wasn't until later, you know, in Acts the 11th chapter, in the 26th verse, where Paul says, "It is at Antioch that the disciples were first called Christians." I didn't know that. Also didn't know that they were also called little Christ by the people who were around them, by their family, their close friends. And they were called little Christ because they were trying to live in a Christian way. So I just find that to be just interesting. Well, it is interesting. You know, names are strange where they come from. The Methodist Church is known as the Methodist Church because John and Charles Wesley, who were the founders of the Methodist Church, were so methodical in the ways of their religion and their practices. They got up at a certain time, they prayed at a certain time, they went to certain church services at a certain time. Their lives were just always very methodical, very planned out. And now Baptists became known as Baptists because they wanted to baptize everybody. They insisted that a person be baptized again in order to become a Baptist. Now, I don't know where all the other names for churches comes from. I think there's a couple of them that I'd kind of like to know where they came from. For instance, Episcopalian, I'm not sure where that would come from. You know, just an interesting name, you know. But in all honesty, it's interesting where names do come from. Now, as Christians, we try to imitate Christ's life. We try to make a copy of the original as best we can. Obviously, we all fail miserably at that, but we try to do that. And you know, God would have us do the best we can to live our lives like Jesus. And that, well, that's so that we might learn to love all people and strive to lead them to the salvation of Jesus. My mom and dad one time visited a church in a foreign country that didn't have a legal right to exist. The government had said that they could not assemble any longer in their church building and have services. But they met the church leaders and they worshiped in this church in an illegal fashion. And during the service, the church baptized 6 people to become members of the church community. And you have to wonder how many of us would go out and try to win people to join our love for Jesus if the government of the United States had padlocked the doors of the church we were going to and told us we didn't have the right to assemble there any longer. I mean, how many of us would have the strength of our conviction to be able to go on being a follower of Christ? It really is difficult. And there are lots of silly reasons why people get displeased with the church. Now, there was a time when my dad was being looked at to be a minister in another church. And he had a person that was on the search committee that decided that he was not devout enough because he didn't use the language of the King James Version of the Bible when he preached. He didn't say thee and thou. And so therefore, that particular person said he was not devout enough, not worthy enough to be the pastor of their church. I have to wonder, you know, why people get so set on such a minor point. Now, he probably would have done a great job for that church. There's no way that you can convince a person of your deep devotion of Christ unless you can convince them that that devotion is attractive. Complaining about thee and thou doesn't seem to be a very attractive way to do it. But people need to be attracted to something that is needed. So when Jesus talks about being the salt of the earth, he's talking to fishermen. And he's talking on the banks of the lake that they were at. And as he's doing that, he's talking to people that understand just how important salt is and what they did for a living. Now, if he had been working at the temple that day, talking to the leaders of the temple, he might not have used that particular illustration. But to the fishermen, it was very, very appropriate. You know, the value of salt is because every time they catch a fish, well, there was no ice in those days. So in order to preserve the fish, they had to salt it down. And that would preserve it long enough to get it to the pickling plants where it would be processed and then shipped around the Mediterranean. But they knew that this little bit of salt can preserve the fish. And they also knew that it can give a little taste and flavor to otherwise tasteless food. So it is kind of the Christian's life and the devotion to preserve the sinner's life. And it adds a little flavor to their life so that you can convince someone that it's worthwhile to become a Christian. And if that doesn't work, if you lose your zest for the Christian faith, when we become that little bit of salt providing flavor to the life, well, how can we do that? We can do that by devoting our life and dedication to Christ. And we can do that by believing that our belief is proven by a consecrated life. And then you dedicate yourself to the Lord's teaching. It's interesting. My dad made a note here that he didn't think people were as knowledgeable about the writing of the scriptures in the 1970s as they were when he was a boy in the 1920s. And I really got to say that that probably was true then. And I think it's even more true now. I mean, when was the last time that you really sat down and studied the scripture? I mean, really studied it. Not just went to church and listened to the pastor expound on what he had studied over the last week, but actually looked at the Bible and looked at the scripture verse and really tried to work out what its meaning, what it really counts for. I mean, if you pick up any of the books of the Bible, it doesn't really matter. There's 66 to choose from. And just pick a chapter and try to work out what it means beyond just the obvious story. I think that we would probably all benefit from that type of activity. And then at the end of that, it's clear that if you're going to convince somebody to participate and be a Christian, you really have to have knowledge about what you're talking about. So you need to build that knowledge. Take the time. Listen to people. Listen to people who might be able to provide some insight. Be the salt that is so desired in this world. May the Lord bless you, give you peace. I recently started a video podcast, and that's on YouTube. Now, if you search on YouTube at Gail Stark, GAILSTARK, you should be able to find it. It's not the same as this podcast, and so I'm hoping that you will find it interesting, and maybe I can have a few subscribers. As we look at what's happened in our Congress over the last couple weeks, over the last couple months, as you look at what's going on in our country, it's pretty obvious that we need to keep praying for our leaders, be able to guide the country in a stable and a sane manner. May the Lord bless you, keep you in peace. I do want to ask everyone listening to this today to help spread the word about this podcast. Help me continue to keep my Father's work for the Lord alive. Please tell your friends and your church groups about this podcast. Share it on social media. Let people know that these inspirations are available. There's a new book available on Amazon titled Throwing Ink. It was a compilation of inspiration based on Dad's work. It was written by me, G.W. Stark.